Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. This Sunday, we look ahead to the great feast of Christ the King. It's a special feast in my own life because the feast of Christ the King used to be on the last Sunday of October, and then it was changed quite a number of years ago to the last Sunday of the liturgical year to crown the year with the feast of Christ the King. So whatever day it's celebrated on, I have always had from childhood, really, a love for Christ as king. I always saw his kingship as benevolent. I never thought of harshness or strictness. I thought of beauty and majesty. That's probably the way I was taught at the beginning. And I want to ask you, as we look at the readings for this Sunday and the Feast of Christ the King, I want to ask you, is Jesus Christ king of your life? Or, as I read Sister Ruth Burroughs, is yourself in the center of your life? It's hard to dislodge self. It's hard. It takes work. But it can be done by his grace and power, not just by your own willpower. To put Jesus Christ as king, or however you want to honor him, but that he be in the center of your life. That all your decisions, all your choices, your direction, all of that, you're seeing it with him as the centerpiece of your life. Is he? Is he? God can do that in us. If we ask him, Lord, I welcome you into my life. You're free to dislodge me from my throne. That hurts sometimes. But if you tell the Lord that and he does it, you'll find out how great is his mercy when he puts himself in his rightful place in your life. The first reading is taken from the second book of Samuel, chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. In those days, all the tribes of Israel came to David in Hebron and said, "Here we are, your bone and your flesh. In days past when Saul was our king, it was you who led the Israelites out and brought them back. And the Lord said to you, 'You shall shepherd my people Israel and shall be commander of Israel.' When all the elders of Israel came to David in Hebron, King David made an agreement with them there before the Lord, and they anointed him king of Israel." Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord, says Psalm 122. I rejoiced because they said to me, "We will go up to the house of the Lord, to the dwelling place of the Lord." How often do you stop in your parish church just to make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament or to some chapel or church closer to you? How often do you do that? He waits for us, brothers and sisters. The king who sits on his throne, though we cannot see it in the eyes of flesh, we know it is true in the eyes of our spirit. The king sits upon his throne, waiting for those who say they belong to him. Perhaps during Advent's a time to make room for this, to visit. Advent's coming up in just another week. Maybe this is an area you should focus on. Maybe growing in faith. Maybe dislodging yourself from the center of your life is what you should be focusing on. Pay attention. Don't let these feasts go by because there's so much grace for you in them. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. And the second reading is taken from the letter of Paul to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 12 to 20. Brothers and sisters, let us give thanks to the Father, who has made you fit to share in the inheritance of the holy ones in light. He delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. That's the truth, brothers and sisters. That's what happened to us in baptism. He delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We're redeemed. Our sins will be forgiven. My goodness, brothers and sisters. I was going to say it's free for the taking, but someone paid the ultimate price. Someone gave his life that you might have this freedom. Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he himself might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things for him, making peace by the blood of his cross, through him, whether those on earth or those in heaven. So prayer of worship, really. Paul writing to the Colossians about Jesus, who he is, what he has done for us. Make this prayer your own this weekend. Pray that those verses 12 to 20 of chapter 1. Chapter 1, 12 to 20, Paul to the Colossians. Read that, who Jesus is. Thank him for who he is. Thank him for what he has done for you. Honor him as king. Adore him as king. And the gospel is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 35 to 43. The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's the chosen one, the Christ of God." Don't people say that today? Nobody's going to save me. I have to save myself if I want to be saved. But who wants to be saved? I don't care when this life is over. That's all there is. How often do we hear that? The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." And above him there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Why, brothers and sisters, why for the feast of Christ the King do we speak of the crucifixion? Because the throne of Christ was the cross. It's on that most glorious of all thrones, the cross, that he won our salvation for you and me. That's why this gospel is here. Now, one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Come on, you know, you're the Christ. If you are, save yourself and us." Can you imagine? You're dying the agonizing kind of death, and all around you is jeering and mockery and spitting. Jesus endured that for you. He reigns from the cross. He triumphs over death. The other criminal, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. Indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Listen, this criminal hanging on the cross is suffering too, unbearably, and yet he can declare he sees who Jesus is. And he shouts out the truth in the midst of all that turmoil and blood and agony and pain. That criminal spoke the truth. "Have you no fear of God, for you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." A criminal, yes, but one who had faith, or who had gained faith in that moment. We don't know. He just says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And look at Jesus' response. Look at it. He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Here's someone being executed for his crimes and acknowledging that he deserves it. And yet look what Jesus says to him. Why? Because he faced the truth about himself, and that enabled him to be open to the truth of who Jesus was. And that faith saved him, even in that moment. None of us knows the day nor the hour when we will die. Not one of us. How is your faith? Where is your faith? Put your faith in Jesus Christ as King of your life, King of your family. Put him where he belongs, brothers and sisters. Don't make this just a token feast. Make it the feast that changes your life. St. Augustine said this, "See if you have anything you may offer, and you will find that you have nothing. God does not want your rams or your goats nor your bulls. All things are his, whether you offer them or not. Offer him, therefore, a clean oblation. But you are a sinner. You are impious. Your conscience is defiled. Made clean, you may perhaps offer something clean, but to make you clean, something has to be offered for you. What, therefore, will you offer for yourself so as to be made clean? If you are made clean, you can offer what is clean. Therefore, let the unstained priest offer himself, and let him make you clean." Hide yourself in the heart of Jesus. This Christ did. He found nothing that was clean in man that he could offer for men, and so he offered himself an immaculate victim. O blessed victim, true victim, immaculate host. He did not therefore offer what we gave him, rather he offered what he took from us, and offered it immaculate, for he took flesh from us, and this he offered. Where did he take it? From the womb of the Virgin Mary, that he might offer what was without stain for those who were unclean. That's you and me. We are unclean, and we can't cleanse ourselves fully and totally. But Jesus Christ, reigning from the cross, took all our sin upon himself so that we would not have to die eternally. He is your King, and he is mine. St. Augustine says, he is our King, he is our priest. Let us rejoice in him. Let us rejoice in him. Look at what Jesus has done for you. Think about this. Take some time between now and Sunday and think about this. Think what God has done for you. Open your heart. Open your heart. Because God loves you. Advent will begin next Sunday. Today ends the year of mercy. Brothers and sisters, pay attention. Receive all the graces that God has for you, for his grace is always available to you. Always. Come back to me, says the Lord. Put your trust in him. Decide to be his son or daughter, to accept being his son or daughter. Decide to put your life under his lordship, under his reign. May God lead you and may God bless you. I have been speaking a great deal recently about faith. I have a booklet entitled Faith More Precious Than Gold that I would like to offer you free if you would call our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. Perhaps it would be a gift that you would like to give this Christmas. I urge you to read Faith More Precious Than Gold.